Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, Text 7. Yesterday you did 6, Maharaj, one verse, yeah. All right, good. So yes, text 7. Tad asya samsritir bandha para tantriyam cha tat kritam bhavate akartur ishasya Sakshino Nirvitatmana Tadasya Samsritir Bandha Paratantriam Chatatkritam Bhavatyakartur Ishasya Sakshino Nirvitatmana Tadasya samstratir bandha paratantriyam chatatkritam bhavachakartur ishasya sakshino nirvitatmana tadasya samstratir bandha Paratantriyam chatatkritam bhavachakartur ishasya sakshino nirvitatmana Tat, from the misconception, asya, of the conditioned soul, samsrite, conditioned life, bandha, bondage, paratantriyam, dependence, cha, and tatkritam, made by that, bhavati, is akartu, of the non-doer, ishasya, independent, sakshina, the witness, nirvrita atmana, joyful by nature. Translation. Material consciousness is the cause of one's conditional life, in which conditions are enforced upon the living entity by the material energy. Although the spirit soul does not do anything and is transcendental to such activities, he is thus affected by conditional life. Oh, Krishna. It's a difficult situation in this material world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Mayavadi philosopher who does not differentiate between the Supreme Spirit and the individual spirit says that the conditional existence of the living entity is his leela, or pastime. But the word pastime implies employment in the activities of the Lord. The Mayavadis misuse the word and say that even if the living entity has become a stool-eating hog, he is also enjoying his pastimes. This is a most dangerous interpretation. Actually, the Supreme Lord is the leader and maintainer of all living entities. His pastimes are transcendental to any material activity. Such pastimes of the Lord cannot be dragged to the level of the conditional activities of the living entities. In conditional life, the living entity actually remains as if a captive in the hands of material energy. Whatever the material energy dictates, the conditioned soul does. He has no responsibility. He is simply the witness of the action, but he is forced to act in that way due to his offense in his eternal relationship with Krishna. Lord Krishna therefore says in Bhagavad Gita that Maya, his material energy, is so forceful that it is insurmountable. But if a living entity simply understands that his constitutional position is to serve Krishna, and he tries to act on this principle, then, however conditioned he may be, the influence of Maya immediately vanishes. This is clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita's 7th chapter. Krishna takes charge of anyone who surrenders to him in helplessness. And thus the influence of Maya, or conditional life, is removed. The spirit soul is actually Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. Under the clutches of Maya, however, he suffers from continued birth, death, disease, and old age. One has to be serious to cure this condition of material existence and transfer himself to Krishna consciousness. For thus, his long suffering may be mitigated without difficulty. In summary, the suffering of the conditioned soul is due to his attachment to material nature. This attachment should thus be transferred from matter to Krishna. Right. Tadasya sam svatir bandha paratantriyam chatatkritam bhavachikartur ishasya sakshino nirvichatmana. Material consciousness is the cause of one's conditional life, in which conditions are enforced upon the living entity by the material energy. Although the spirit soul does not do anything and is transcendental to such activities, he is thus affected by conditional life. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pascha Chyadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchkalp Turibhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, so we are traveling, or we are moving with Lord Kapila deeper and deeper into the clear understanding of what is the position of the conditioned soul in this material world, in material life. And it's a, well, he's really doing it step by step in a, you could say, painstaking way. Yes, in a detailed way, he's focusing and going deeply into it. It's a very serious study, and it's a very informative and beneficial study for us. Here, Lord Kapila is focusing on how material, the conditions of material life are enforced upon the conditioned souls, that's us, by the material energy. And even though we as what we really are, eternal persons, spiritual persons, not part of the material world, but transcendental to material nature, even though our position is like that, and therefore in purely material terms, we as spirit souls are not really doing anything. But unfortunately, we are affected. We're not part of it. We're something else. And we're in a different position. And there should be absolutely no effect. But we're affected. We're affected. It's sort of like, I mean, yes, it is, to some degree at least, that we, as human beings, we live in buildings. And sometimes, wherever we are in the building, but, I mean, the geographic location, the country, the town, the area, whatever, sometimes there is very bad weather. Sometimes it may rain and rain and just violently rain, and the wind may violently blow, and there may be snow in some places. There will be snow in plenty of places, actually. There will be snow, and it's really, outside, it's just too unpleasant. But we stay inside. We are inside. And therefore, as long as we've got our inside situation organized, it can be as cold, as wet, as windy as possible, but we will be fine. Life will go on nicely for us. That is how it should be, because we're eternal spiritual persons and we have no standing in this material world. It is just a different environment. It's not our environment. And by our nature, by our actual nature, there should be no effect. There should be no effect at all. Just like the person who's inside, even though the weather may be in whatever condition, but the person inside should be totally unaffected. There's no influence. Not even a little wind. Not one drop of rain. Not even one little snowflake. Not one, nothing, even though outside it may be quite a dramatic situation. You know, sometimes we've experienced, in Johannesburg I've experienced more than here in Durban, that sometimes you get these almost tropical, but they're actually subtropical storms, rainstorms, which come. And if you have to run as fast as you can from one side of the road to the other, just a normal road, not some big highway, just a normal road, one lane this way, one lane that way. But if you have to run from one side to the other, then the rain, it is raining so hard that even if you run, by the time you reach the other side, you are completely saturated, just wet right through. The rain is so extremely heavy. So the material world is like that. The conditions of life in this material world, they're very dramatic. Sometimes you may feel okay, we'll relax in some pleasant type of position. But in many cases, in so many cases, so much of the time, there's difficulty. And sometimes there's extreme difficulty. Just like, of course, a classic example is our virus situation. Who ever had the thought, even just occur to them momentarily, that perhaps virtually the entire world, certainly the entire developed world, would be basically shut down for months, and business and production and just going out and meeting with people, associating, all these things would be just completely stopped for months. Who ever thought of that? Anyway, I can say it never occurred to me. There was definitely an assumption that life was just going to go on as it had been going. But this is the material world. We should never make the mistake of underestimating the power of Maya. We should never make that mistake of underestimating the power of Maya and Maya's ability to turn any situation into a very difficult situation. Yes. The virus is one thing. Then, of course, you get these wars like the so-called Second World War. And people, many people who were successful people, suddenly everything was just destroyed like that. And how to recover from that. So this is material life. this is life in the material world. And therefore, as devotees, particularly as devotees, we should always, as we hear Srila Prabhupada said, we should always maintain a type of pessimism about material life. We should not maintain optimism about material life. That even for us as devotees, how the situations in material life may affect us, we should never be optimistic. Like, for example, in America right now, an excellent place not to be, but anywhere is an excellent place not to be in this material world. But in America right now, in about, what is it, about 3-4 weeks, They're having elections. And I have no doubt that there are many people, really a very large number of people, who are feeling that the government of America must change. It is imperative. It is absolutely imperative that it changes. I'm sure that there are many people, probably the most for many years. And who knows, it may happen. It may happen. Just like many years, or not so many years, whatever it was, 30 years ago, there was a change in government here. Anyway, let's not get into that. We can talk about America, because they can't get us. But if the party, the group, that those people are just wishing, and I'm sure many are praying, will take over the government if they actually do, in due course, because of their inability to actually help people to become happy, to become really happy, eventually that group, who may be voted in a few weeks, and people will, if it happens, people will celebrate. They'll be voted out in due course. Sri Sri Radharadna Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. They will in due course be voted out because of failure. Quite some years ago, at least 20 or 30 or something, I forget when and I forget where I read it, but I read in some, I must admit, material type of publication that every single government which has existed on this planet in sort of recorded Western history at least, every single government in every single country has been kicked out. Every one has been kicked out. Yes. And people have celebrated when that group got kicked out for failure. For failure to address the situations of the people in ways which are satisfactory to them. It's really quite something. This is life in the material world. It really is difficult, and the spirit soul, we as eternal spiritual persons, we are completely transcendental to it. We should not be touched by it. But we are touched by it. We are affected by what goes on the material level. Yes, even though we should not be, but due to the power of attachment, our attachment to enjoying independently on the material level, basically, due to that, we are affected by something which we should not be affected by. And again, let me just remind you the example we gave of being in a building when the weather outside is, you know, extremely bad. But you're inside and, you know, generally you will not be touched by one drop of rain, one snowflake, not the slightest movement of air, even if there's some gale blowing outside. You should be untouched because you're in that special environment. So we as eternal spirit souls, we should be untouched by the conditions of material life. But as Lord Kapila says, that although the spirit soul does not do anything and is transcendental to such activities, material activities. Although he's transcendental to such activities, he is thus affected by conditional life. When we were in conditional life, we were affected. I was deeply affected, too deeply. It became intolerable. Anyway, so that's the situation, and Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he begins the purport by making an interesting point about the Mayavadis, the impersonalists. This is good, because the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, are, in terms of ideas and conceptions of life, and advocating for such things, the Mayavadis are enemies, you could say. They're actually enemies. Their influence is very bad. Like their influence in India has been so incredibly destructive in spiritual terms. Incredibly destructive and bewildered so many millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people. It's criminal. When Srila Prabhupada first started preaching in America, he would be giving a class, and sometimes some point like this about the Mayavadi philosophers would come up, maybe in a purport or somehow or other, the natural flow of the class. Prabhupada would make some comment about Mayavadis, impersonalists, and the devotees noticed that sometimes when this happened, Prabhupada became so full of concern and energy and spoke so strongly against the Mayavadis, impersonalists, that the young devotees became shocked, or something like shocked, how practically ferocious Prabhupada became in his pointing out shortcomings of impersonalism, Mayavad, and like that. And we've mentioned a few times in the past that it reached a point that one day over lunch or breakfast, over prasadam, the young devotees were gathered and having prasadam. Srila Prabhupada was not there, was not right there with them. And someone brought this point up. You know, why does Swamiji become so animated and strongly critical of these impersonalist people? And of course they didn't know much really at all, particularly of intricacies like this. And so one of the devotees suggested, well, he's an old man, and old people, sometimes they develop like prejudices and certain attitudes about certain things or people because they've had bad experiences with those people or those situations. And there's an old English term, they get something like a bee under their bonnet. They just, whenever this comes up, it sets them off. They become excited about it in a very negative way. And he suggested that that was the case with Prabhupada, that somehow or other he had had some bad experience with some of these impersonalists, which had affected him. And now whenever there's mention of them, it stimulates, you know, whatever sort of scar was there internally. from that bad experience. Anyway, you know, of course, that's just a typically material attempt to explain something which is actually of spiritual depth, but to try to sort of discount it on the material platform by some quote-unquote clever little material explanation. But Prabhupada was actually concerned, and he was rightly concerned. We hear that Madhvacharya, one of the previous great acharyas, he was very physically big and very powerful, and he would travel around on foot and preach here and there and do programs and so on. This way he became very famous preacher, and many people became devotees. And they say that he was also very strongly opposed to Mayavad of Shankaracharya, impersonalism, you could say, in a general sense. So if he happened to meet on the road some Mayavadi preacher, sometimes he would physically accost him and just grab hold of him and tell him that, why are you cheating the people? Like this, he was, you know, he would become physical about expressing his extreme dissatisfaction with those people. So anyway, here Srila Prabhupada mentions how the Mayavadis, who don't differentiate between the Supreme Spirit and the individual spirit, between us and Krishna, sometimes they say that the conditional existence of the conditioned souls, or let's say of a conditioned soul, is his leela or pastime. And even Prabhupada mentions here, even sometimes they go so far to say that if some conditioned soul takes the body of a stool-eating hog or some other just terribly, terribly low and incredibly suffering position in material life, they say it is their leela or pastime. In other words, it's okay. It's nice. It's good. But Prabhupada says, this is a most dangerous interpretation. In other words, we don't care if we take some lower body. We don't care. It'll just be our leela, our pastime. It'll be nice. It'll be enjoyable. Whereas to actually be a stool-eating hog, for example, is just a disaster. It's terrible for the conditioned soul. It's absolutely horrible. Although, as Lord Kapila said, the conditions are enforced upon the living entity, and the living entities become affected by them, but then they also come to accept those conditions, although actually they're suffering terribly. And the examples given, Srila Prabhupada gives the example on a few occasions of when Lord Indra somehow became cursed by someone, a sage or someone, to become a hog and live in a stool, just a filthy, horrific condition. And so Indra, he took that body and he was living like that. And then, but as time, a little time went on, then he got a hog wife? A hoggess? No, anyway. He got a hog wife. They had some hog children. And actually, Indra, despite the filth, despite just walking around naked, the filth and, you know, whatever else is there, eating just anything, just vile things, Indra became attached. After some time, the curse was sort of time-bound. After some time, the curse was finished. And now Indra could return to the heavenly planets and become Lord Indra again and just enjoy, in material terms, on a super extravagant level. And seeing he's so important, we mentioned the other day in our Bhagavad Gita seminar, Indra is so important as a demigod, as one of the managers of the material situation. He's so extremely important that he gets special treatment. He gets special treatment. When he stole the horse of King Prithu a number of times to stop Prithu Maharaj doing his 100th Ashvamedha Yajna, then according to standards of karma, he should have been severely punished. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead came there and to settle the whole situation, he told Prithu and Prithu's son particularly, no, just leave him. Just leave him. He's so important that let's just overlook it. So Indra gets special treatment sometimes. And in this case, when he became a hog, special treatment he got, Lord Brahma personally decided to come and escort him back and reinstall him as Indra. So he came and approached Indra in the body of the hog. Somehow he was able to speak to him or communicate with him. And so Brahma told Indra, all right, let's go. You can go back and become Lord Indra and just enjoy life on a huge scale. But Indra gave him a look and said, you know, I'm okay here. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm fine here. I've got my wife. I've got my children. Life is good. My place to live. It's okay, thanks. You can go away. Leave me alone. But Lord Brahma, understanding the situation, Lord Brahma, well, he did something pretty extreme. He killed, right in front of Indra in his hog body, he killed the hog wife and the hog, the little piglets. He killed them. And then Indra saw the stark reality of material life. And then he agreed to go back and become Lord Indra again. So these things are not pastimes. Even when we have what people call pastimes, generally they're not pastimes. Because pastimes means just great enjoyment. But oftentimes there's a lot of suffering. So it's a great offense to compare the pastimes of the Lord with the so-called pastimes of the conditioned souls. Srila Prabhupada makes the point here, it's very interesting, it's a little different to how he expresses the situation normally. Prabhupada says, whatever the material energy dictates, the conditioned soul does, he has no responsibility. He's simply the witness of the action, but he's forced to act in that way due to his offense in his eternal relationship with Krishna. So it's an interesting perspective on our position and the whole idea of how we got here into material life. As Prabhupada says, it was due to our offense in our eternal relationship with the Lord. We committed grave offense, or maybe grave offenses, and therefore we were sent here to the place where offense is normal. The place where offense is simply normal. And we fitted right in, and here we are still. So in Krishna consciousness, we have to change that offensive nature and actually become proper devotees again. Become proper devotees again and develop the proper attitudes towards Krishna, devotees, devotional service like this. And the only way to do that, Prabhupada refers to Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, famous chapter 7, famous verse 14, where Lord Krishna says, Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya durachaya mama eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mine, the material energy, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So Srila Prabhupada's talking about that in our purport here, how the only way out, the material energy is so forceful, it is insurmountable. Krishna says in that verse, is very difficult to overcome. Means, basically, it's impossible. But through surrender, through the process of devotional service, giving up the offensive mentality, then Krishna says, one can easily cross beyond it. What a contrast, insurmountable to easily surmounted. Krishna takes charge of anyone who surrenders to him in helplessness. And thus the influence of Maya or conditional life is removed. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.